Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Boop is brought to you by people like you. That's right. If you enjoy the show, head on over to patreon.com/frogpants and help us out today.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
Oh, hi. It's the Boop Show, episode 188 for Monday, September 24th, 2018. That's my favorite one. You guys at home can't see this, but Brian went and danced with his Muppet. What's the... It's
Muppets!
Is that... what's his name?
Yes, Monster. That's Animal.
Animal.
Yeah. Animal.
Why did I say Monster?
He's kind of a monster.
I mean, he is one.
You're thinking Cookie Monster.
Maybe. I don't know what I was thinking. I like all Muppets. I'm an equal Muppet man. No discrimination. Love them all.
Muppets.
Hey, everybody, we're here. We're back. We missed last week. We had Hurricane Florence made Brian's life a living hell. He was just very busy. He wasn't affected directly.
I was busy. I was safe. It was just busy because I live near the action.
Yeah.
And
you work for a municipality there where, you know, stuff gets shuffled around. People got to run around and do stuff, and it just made it kind of impossible. But we were still able to squeeze some gaming in since we last spoke.
Squeeze it.
And quick note, I'm going to be at a gaming convention this weekend, GDEX. You can find more details at thegdex.com. It's out in Ohio, out and up for me. I'll be in Columbus. And so if you want to come by and say hi, I'll be out there. Steve Hammaker will be there, a few other friends.
Wow, that's not that far from me, baby. I should have went to the GDEX.
You should go to GDEX. Come on up. I'll get you in. I totally get you in. You don't have to worry about it. I'll get you in. And you can watch me speak. I have to speak. You don't have to speak, but I speak. I'll get up there and I'll talk and we'll do stuff and there's video games to play and it's going to be great. I'm very much looking
but
forward to it.
What if I want to speak? Speaking.
All right, get up, speak. Your turn. Your turn to speak. Anyway, if you're in that area, come on down. It's thegdex.com and we are at the something something convention center downtown there. I don't know the name of it. It's all at thegdex.com. All right.
You can't miss it.
No, you can't. You really can't. If you did, then you're the dummy and we're the smart ones. Okay, here's the deal. We're back on the air. We got stuff to talk about, and we may as well just dive right in. I've talked about this game before, but I felt like it was worth bringing up again because, as it turns out, there are updates sometimes, and sometimes that's worth seeing. Like you'll be like, oh, I think I've played all I need to play, and I don't really need to think about it again or whatever, and then you'll play it again and go, oh... There's like
Because I remember this one. You talked about it a couple of months ago, and you said this was the game of the year.
No, I did not. That's a dirty, dirty lie. I take your point though. It's the game is called War Tile, and I've talked about it before, and I may have described what it was before. Basically, it's like this little D&D adventure set in sort of a Norse mythology, and. The levels that you go on are like great big three-dimensional like almost dioramas, kind of like you would make if you're having a real D&D adventure. Kind of, you've got your what are they called, the little spaces,
like little
hexagon
little
thank you
tiles hexagon. They're tiles, it's in the name, war.
Yes.
Tile.
Yeah, war tile, there you go. Little hexagon tiles. Your characters are dudes and ladies who animate and stuff. They animate and do things and move,
ladies.
But they're on a little stand like they're a figurine,
right?
So if they're sitting, they're just sitting on their figurine. If they're standing, if they're swinging their sword, whatever, they're all on these figurines. And
it reminds me of battle chests that they had on the in the Star Wars.
Oh yeah, similar to that. That's a good point. Just very cinematic. Everything's very nicely textured and beautiful. Lots of objects. But at the end of the day, it's almost like somebody handcrafted this big, beautiful space for you to move your dudes around on. And It's turn-based, but not really. I mean, it is, but it's more like turn time-based. So if you move your dude, he has a little white circle around his feet that will start sort of counting down like a cooldown. And then when it ends, you can move again. And you can move, but he won't, if his cooldown's not done, he won't move yet. Sometimes effects like a trap or freezing or something will happen where you can't move at all. So there's all those sorts of things in combat. But you just, you know, you move them around these tiles. If you're on a higher tile, you have advantage.
The high ground.
Yeah, you have the high ground. So you have some advantage over your enemies. If you're on the low ground, you have a little bit of a disadvantage.
Everybody understands that.
Yeah.
Except for that guy.
That one guy who's listening to us right now. He's learning something today.
He's all mad because he gave the high ground to Obi-Wan.
There you go. I forgot about that.
He should know better.
Yeah, you're right. Anyway, here's what's... So I've talked about this game. I've explained it before. There's a whole adventure. There's story. There's characters unlocked. There's loot to get. There's, you know, armor to wear, all this. It's kind of what you think it is. A little bit more of like a tabletop approach to an RPG adventure. I really like the combination of things it uses. This is something I've already been on record to say. What's different, you ask, Scott? Well, let me tell you. They released 1.1. And it has a completely rewritten story, 100% rewritten, started over. That doesn't mean you don't get pieces of what was there before. They just went through, think of it as like a final edit on a book, kind of. Somebody went through and just cleaned it up, added a few things, removed a few things, and then they added voiceover to all of it. And it's
good. So now they got voice work.
And it's good voice work. Like, at the beginning of the thing, it'll say, "You entered the valley, trying not to die by exposure to the element," you know, whatever it is. I'm making all of that's made up, and it's not that voice, but it's a cool voice, and it feels like a more polished, cohesive, like finished adventure. I already liked this a lot and recommended it pretty highly. I am now would like to go on the record to say this is a really cool game and worth your time.
Now's the time, because right now Steam has it on sale at 40% off, which is the most it is usually off. It's only been cheaper one time before, and that's with Chrono GG, where sometimes I pick up games there as well, at $11. You're not going to get any cheaper than that.
Yeah.
So that's pretty. I'm picking it up right now, as a matter of fact.
You should get it. It's 40% off.
Is there multiplayer, like where I can play like you online?
No, there's no. As far as I know, I haven't. You know what? It's funny. I haven't actually looked into that because I'm usually kind of a solo guy, but I don't think so. I don't think you can do co-op in this. That would be amazing if you could. And if there is co-op, then somebody please let us know. But I think it's mainly a single-player experience.
It looks like it's just a single-player.
Uses
so far
a lot of scene, like,
which is too bad. But that's it's still it looks like a lot of fun.
It is. It uses kind of a tilt shift camera a lot. So if you're into that sort of thing, where stuff looks like it's real and close and like a little model, that stuff's in there. There's a lot of graphic options you can turn on and off. But I'm running it at full everything, and it looks beautiful. Some of the UI is a little on the janker side, not terrible, but a little confusing.
The janker side.
I'm not going to give them too much of a ding for that, because the actual gameplay is what matters here. And the other thing is, there's lots of little shortcuts. So you're thinking to yourself, hey, do I have to move every dude? If I get like a team of four guys, do I have to move them all individually? Well, you can.
Right.
But if you're just trying to get around the map, move the first guy you want to move, like your tanky dude, and hold down shift while you do it, and they'll all follow. So you can just very quickly move around. And then when it comes to actual combat, you can get real specific and, you know, go in whatever strategic order you want to and that sort of thing. Anyway, I think it's great. It's super fun. And if you're even... Oh, here's some narration. Let me see if I can play this for you. Hold on.
The Norsemen draw their swords.
Wait, I want to... Oh, yeah. Let me turn that back a little. I want you to hear more of it.
Okay. Air appears through the fog. The air crackling with Seder... A crimson tree bears testament to the god of healing. Suddenly, the Norsemen draw their swords.
It's just got a very... Oh, and the soundtrack.
I like that.
So cool.
I like the narration. It's like somewhere between an audiobook and maybe something you'd see on some kind of documentary about War Tile.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. A documentary about a video game called War Tile. Exactly. Right. And I should say, I should really quickly mention how combat works. When you're fighting... There's an automatic combat if they're in range of fighting. So if your sword, if your axe dude is right up next to a thing, he's a zombie guy or whatever, you're going to start fighting him. If your staff guy is a couple of spaces back for them, he'll fight too because he can fight at range. He's got a spear, so he doesn't have to be right up on you. He's also weaker when it comes to armor and stuff, so you kind of don't want to have him right up on you. But you can also flank an enemy and have somebody in between and do a lot more damage that way. There are other classes to unlock, like a magic class, kind of a healery kind of druid class. So other things to kind of fill out your group and do more stuff.
I hope they figure out a way to make some money on this game, because I mean the price is not bad. You know, that's a really good price. But is there any type of microtransactions kind of looking like it may do in the future?
No, as best I can tell, no. The only thing I could see them doing here, and I think it'd be great if they did, I would totally buy it, is if they did some DLC or some additional, like, you know, adventure packs or something would be really cool. It's not, you know, this isn't a Diablo experience where things are randomized. It's a very crafted adventure. Right. And there's a lot.
I noticed there was some cards involved as well.
Oh, yeah, explain the cards. So you unlock those as you play, and the more cards you get, the more options you have. Think of it as a little Hearthstone-y, but not in the same sort of, oh, I gotta buy decks. You don't have to do any of that. It's just unlock it in the game. It's a little bit more like Slay the Spire or a game like that where you just get the cards after a while.
That's a good comparison.
And the cards are used for special abilities. So you go and just have melee combat. We're watching these two on the screen right now. They're just fighting with their spear and their axe. But anytime during combat, each of your characters has a unique ability that can be put on cooldown. It's a card that you always have, and it's always available. So Shield Bash for the tanky guy. And he'll do that, I don't know how much, you know, 30-second cooldown or something. And it dazes the enemy and makes them weaker while they're affected by it, that sort of thing. Then the wizard lady has some, you know, cool AoE effect, damage doer thing. So they all have something different. So that's the one kind of card. Then the other card are the ones that are being drawn manually from a deck you can build. You can build a deck before you go on an adventure and kind of build it the way you want it. But it will pull randomly from that build. And it might be things like a trap, and you put the trap down anytime a guy stands in it, he gets stuck in it. Or it can be a spell or a healing ability. So like a healing scroll. And if you deal one of those, you can use that on your guys while you're fighting, especially if you're having kind of a gnarly fight.
Right. Is this, like, I just saw this in the chat room, a question I'd like to ask as well. Doc Medpod asks, is it a linear storyline? Or is it build your own little path?
It's a little of both. It's a linear storyline in that you can follow the story.
Right. Well,
that's a really good question. You kind of play it at your own pace, but you don't necessarily choose how do I put this? You can't jump ahead on levels. Like you need to do one. You got to go do this one area. You got to do the quests that are in it. Some of the quests are optional. Some of the quests are mandatory. Once you've done those quests, you can now unlock a new zone and go do that zone. So I guess it's linear in that regard.
Okay.
But
yeah, it's not hard linear.
No,
I mean,
it's not
going to lock you in where you got to go down a certain
It's not
path.
On rails. Right. No, it doesn't feel like that at all. And the minute to minute play is very determined by you and your own strategy, the deck you decide to take in with you, the characters you decide to have with you, how you put them in formation. Like all that stuff brings tons of variety to the game.
This is just such a visually appealing game. I could just see them going so many places with it. I would hate to see it just stop here. I'm picking this game up.
Yeah, it did really well.
It's still early access.
Yeah, it did really well on early access. I think it's officially out though now, right?
Oh, is it now? Okay,
yeah, I think so. Did really well in early access. That's when I first played it. Then it went to full release 1.0. This 1.1 update is just all this polish I was talking about. And it really adds to the game, and I already liked it, so it was very impressive. The guy I'm watching play it right now in this video is not very good at putting guys where they're supposed to go, but that's fine. That's fine. Whatever you got to do, buddy. 40% odds is hard to beat. The fact that you can get this for like $11 is kind of stupid. And if you like PC games and sort of D&D-inspired stuff, it's cool. There's sort of, you know, dice rolling is happening in real time. A better comparison actually might be something like Baldur's Gate. Almost weirdly Baldur's Gate-ish, even though there's some very different systems at play and certainly the approach is different.
I can see that.
It's cool. I like it. It's again called War Tile, available on Steam. good old games wherever you get your PC fix.
Yeah, Humble Bundle has it as well. They've been doing fairly well on it as well.
Yeah. I should have mentioned, and I almost forgot. The loot in the game is random. There is no set linearity to when you get items. So if you go open a treasure chest, that could have money in it, could have a new club, a helmet. You never know. It's very Diablo that way, which is good.
Right.
But it's good. And also, it's not true turn-based. I mean, yes, it is. Like, your characters and your players are taking turns, but it's a cooldown-based turn, as you can see by looking at it. Anytime you hold down the space bar, you'll slow everything way down to like super slow-mo. So you can, if things are getting a little hairy, you can kind of make a determination on what to do. So there's some of that, but it's mostly it's this weird hybrid. And that's, I think, I like about it, is it's not, they could have just gone pure turn-based, like, it's your turn now. And that's fine. I mean, there are plenty of good turn-based games. I love a good turn-based game.
Right.
This is just something a little different than that. But
I like it.
Anyway, it's cool. War Tile. Check it out. Grab it, get it, $11.
You sold me on it, Scott. You had to bring it two times. You had to bring it two times to the show, but you made me buy. Good job. All right.
Tell me about Epic Loon. What the hell is that?
I saw this game last year being kind of marketed around. I didn't get in early or anything, but I've had it on my wish list since probably last September or so, about this time. It finally came out in July. And I missed it somehow. And so I picked up this this past week. It was on my wish list. It was on sale, I think, for not too much. I think it was like $9.99 or something. But what it is, Epic Loon. It's Epic Loon. And the reason I didn't just jump right into the description of it, because it is this weird ride where you're playing as one of four aliens. You can play the storyline, which is how I'm playing it mostly right now, or you can play it co-op, and it is, you can be one of four aliens, and the aliens are attempting to wreak havoc upon Joe, the video file, which is really where most of the story is told from his perspective. It's 1994. Joe is a very nerdy nerd and a video file of sci-fi movies mostly. And he has been watching his VHS, and it has went on the fritz. He's lived in the basement of his mom's house, of course. Mm-hmm. And so he heads out to the local, trying to say it in the right way. You've seen
apothecary,
Gremlins, right?
It's like the apothecary, right?
There you go. So he goes to a shop, a corner hardware store, that is very similar to the hardware store you would see in Gremlins. Mm-hmm. And he picks up a cleaning tape that is all magical, and it comes with these things not to do and what to do, just like Gremlins. And
you mean, cleaning tape, like a VHS cleaning tape.
A VHS. Yeah, I'm sorry. Did I not mention that? Yes. Everything. He is a video file. I'm sorry. Yes, he is a video file, but it's 1994. So it's almost all VHS based. And everything he has is illegal because he records it on cable TV. He sits in his basement. Joe does, and records bad movie after bad movie. Is such a film sack idea. And he has ran into a trouble with his VCR, and he's head down to the local Mystic hardware store, and he is back with a videotape for cleaning. He puts it into his VCR, and there has been aliens, and you're the aliens who inject themselves into the equipment. And at that point in time, Joe decides that he's going to get rid of the aliens in his VCR by playing the most scary and intense movies he has to destroy the aliens. And that's when you come in and you're the alien. And really, once you get past all the storyline, by the way, it is such an atmospheric game.
You failed to mention one really key component here.
I haven't gotten to the gameplay
so
yet.
So far, the whole thing that I'm looking at here, and I don't know if it's just the intro or what, but it's all full motion video. It's all
I'm sorry. Yeah. The introduction is all this full motion video. You're essentially look like you're sitting over top of Joe, like with some kind of security camera, and you're watching Joe, and it's all live action, like you said. There's a real actor there. And when you go into the game, it actually zooms into the TV. And then you see everything like you would see in a TV. Mm. So It's and once you get to that point, then you actually start playing the game. Once you get into this real atmospheric mood that just drips in, you know, 90s and 80s nostalgia and movies from that time, once you get into it, it really is just a physics game. You're little aliens, and you have you can walk very slowly across platforms on a stage, usually staged in some movie. My favorite one has been the one that is a spoof on Jurassic Park. Yeah. And you will be on a scene somewhere where it's like either like the first stage you play, it's like a movie poster of Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. Except it's called Jurassic Land or something like that. And there's a dinosaur. And so essentially the videotape is on pause at that screen, and you have to take your little character and you have to morph. So you're standing up, but you can walk very slowly. You only can go so far. And you morph into this blob, and your little eyeball starts going back and forth like a little metronome. And when it gets to a certain area, that's where the physics kicks in. You have to launch the guy to different parts of the screen as you stick to different ledges and edges. And you're trying to get to an escape area in each stage. And usually that's represented by a tear in the screen where there's like light. Looks like it's coming through like the film or something. Like I said, It is a trip.
It looks like
a hard game to describe.
I got into this thinking, I'm watching this video as you've been talking, and I started this thinking, this is not going to be my thing. Like, I thought this was too hard for the retro, and I'm kind of impressed with how deep it goes, because they really, I'd like to talk to the production team on this and say, or whoever made this, and probably one guy for all I know, but I'd like to ask him, how did you get away with having C-3PO right next to that TV and not have to worry about paying and stuff?
Yeah, they're, I don't know if it's because it was videotaped and it's an actual, and it's so obscured because the way you're looking at it, it is a live action, but the live action is almost seen through, like I said, like a security camera from like the era of 1994. So I definitely think they can get away with it because there's so much parody there. I think they can get away with it. This is definitely parodies everything. It's just steeped in the parody. But at first, I was a little bit worried because when I'd seen the marketing for it, they really played up the storyline. And when I was like 10 minutes in, I still hadn't played any game yet. And I'm like, where am I going? What am I going to be doing here?
Yeah.
And then when it just turned out to be a physics game, at first I was like, just a physics game? This is stupid. But it's actually fun. Once I got into it and I got, I really sat down and just let myself be immersed in the nostalgia and just accept the corny jokes they were constantly launching at me. Because even when you're playing the game, when you're doing, when you're trying to launch yourself from one area to the other, there's like a lot of triggers where you'll be hearing like a almost, so is it Hammond? So Hammond is the old guy in Jurassic Park, right?
Dr.
Hammond. So he's kind of narrating, but it's a guy making, you know, doing a voice like him, and it's just all this weird, trippy stuff just the whole time. But once you actually get into the game, it's a lot of fun. I did enjoy trying to figure out the different ways and different physics and the different platforms, because some platforms move. And sometimes the game goes two times faster because Joe is fast forwarding the videotape trying to mess you up, or he may make it slower. And so for something that seemed like it was going to be pretty limited in gameplay, it keeps me interested and keeps moving forward because it's just silly enough. And sometimes it is really hard and really challenging.
Yeah,
and
sometimes some of these levels look easy. Brutal, man. Some of this stuff.
Yeah, they're real brutal.
So I'm gonna give them props for how this looks. Like it's
unique is all get out. I think you'll probably either if you get it, like I said, it's about $10. You'll either get it and quit immediately, or you will play hours upon hours, which is what I've done. Yeah. And there's really not much. Once you get past the initial, you know, the kookiness and stuff, it's just more like a fun little ride. Just the whole way. It's just a little fun ride.
Very odd. That's very interesting.
And most of it's, I want to say most of it's in black and white, except for like some of the video stuff, but the actual gameplay, most of it's like either a monotone or monochrome or black and white. And then there's areas where you don't want to hit which makes it way more difficult because it'll be lit up red. And if it hits that, then I didn't mention this. Whenever you're jumping the platforms and trying to get to your end goal, you may end up getting killed. It's usually either by falling off a platform or hitting one of these red spots. Like I was saying, it looks like blood. And then you have to start back over.
Mm.
So I've only played it individually, and that's been pretty fun.
Yeah.
I'm curious because I haven't sat down and played with anybody else. But I would be curious to see how this is going to be as a couch co-op game, because I think it really could be very frustrating because there's sometimes when the physics game, like I said, it's like a metronome. So you have to wait until it hits right where you want to go to. So it's kind of like when you play in golf and you got a little power back and forth, and sometimes your mind goes, oh, right there. But really, the stick is pointing the other direction.
Yeah.
There's going to be lots of times where you're going to feel like, oh, I'm almost there. I'm almost there. And then somebody else is going to jump or get in your way or knock you out of the way. So I feel like I probably could be screaming at somebody with this game.
Yeah.
Local couch co-op.
I'm kind of fascinated by it. I'm going to have to check it
out. Yeah, it is. I really, Epic Loon, that is a trippy game. I just loved it from the beginning because it's got a lot of, I love the art style because it's got a lot of, 50s, 60s, and 70s kind of sci-fi monsters, and it's just done this really.
But it's also good. It remains this cool late 80s, early 90s. You know,
yes, translation of it.
Yeah, which everybody loves that. That's a great time to be alive.
Right,
yeah,
right.
I'm into it.
Good stuff.
All right. Well, I'm going to now talk to you about Captain Toad Treasure Tracker.
Oh, Treasure Tracker!
We're going to talk about a game on the Nintendo Switch. I don't know why I did that voice. So if you've not played Treasure Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, it's a game that originally appeared on the Nintendo Wii U, but did not get near enough people playing it because that console didn't sell that well. Had it sold well, I think this would have been one of the great games on it. And so, like Nintendo has done with a number of titles from the Wii U that deserved better attention than they got, the game is now available on the Switch and has been for a bit. I'm a little bit late to the party here, but I had forgotten, actually, that I had a code for this. And somebody had given it to me forever ago. I don't remember who. It was just sitting here waiting for me to freaking use it. And I was in the mood for some Nintendo-ass Nintendo, man. I wanted, like, some goofy, creative, cute stuff. I will make one quick admission here. The thing that reminded me to go and look for the code and install it was the thing going around where the porn actress lady says that Trump's wiener was like Toad. Okay, I'm gonna admit this. That's what reminded me. Oh, Captain Toad. I haven't looked at that in a while. Did I ever play? And I went and looked it up, and sure enough, I had not played Captain Toad Treasure Tracker yet. So, for a little bit of history, historical context, this came out of a different game. The Nintendo's very high selling, but again, for the platform, who knows, it could have sold a lot more. But their Mario game for that device was called Super Mario Land 3D. Super Mario World 3D? Well, whatever. There's Mario Land 3D, which is on the 3DS, and then this was like big blown out console, new version.
Right, right.
Whatever it was called. But it had these points in it where you could do these one-offs. It's like, oh, here you go. Here's Captain Toad, and he has a little thing for me to do in the middle of playing Mario. You would just do these little one-offs. And they were so fun by themselves. Clearly, Nintendo smartly went, oh, you know what we could do? We could make this a game. And they did. They made it a damn video game. And it's just level after level, very interesting variety of levels of Captain Toad doing what Captain Toad does, which is look for treasure. He's got a little helmet on with a light so he can see where he's going. And you're trying to unlock and find all of these little gems and then come out of there with the three gems.
Like some kind of treasure?
Yeah, like treasure. Yeah, yeah. And then you got bad guys you got to dispatch in various ways. You have lives. You collect coins. A little bit of Mario in there. There's always a secret thing hidden someplace. So you want to try to get all the secret stuff, and while you're at it, there's also, after you've done it once, you can go find this 8-bit version of Toad. If you do that, you basically just kind of clear. There's a lot of sort of, hey, I want to clear this whole thing and be the man, and so that's what you do.
Right.
I
now, is there anything specific that really makes it shine on the Wii. Because I'm looking down. It looks like a
Switch. You mean?
I'm sorry. What did I say?
You said the Wii, Switch. But I know what you meant. Yeah.
Wii, yeah, it's the Wii, Wii U. But no, the Switch, it looks like you can play as you can have a second player as well.
Yeah, that person, I forget what that person can do, because I haven't done that yet, so I'm not 100% sure. There's a bunch of touchscreen stuff involved if you decide to use it that way. You can play it all with a controller as well on a TV, but I've only played this in handheld mode because it's perfect for handheld mode. It's like, what do I want? What do I feel like doing? I know what I feel like doing, playing Captain Toad on the couch. Without anybody bugging me. So I got my little screen in front of me, and I go and do my little puzzles, and I get my job done, and you get the star, and you get out, and you do the next one. And it's just got a great rhythm to it. Pick it up, play it, be done, move on to the next one, put it down for a while, come back to it. Just great that way. And everything's done in this similar, you know, it's funny, we were talking about War Tile. This is also like a little 3D diorama, much more, you know, cartoony, Nintendo-y, but these really cool design, little three-dimensional diorama things, and your job is to figure them out, and none of them feel so complicated that you'd rather die. Like, if you don't like this kind of thing, you know, you'd think that, oh, this would be terrible, but they just make it just enough challenge and just enough sort of delightful gameplay that you feel like you want to just keep going and do the next guy. I like it a lot. I think it's awesome, and I'm gonna highly recommend
it. I've been looking for something to play on the Switch, and
maybe you'll like
maybe
it.
This is it.
Might be
maybe
it.
This is it, because I love these kind of games.
It's good for kids, too. Like, kids like this. I think it helped make them smarter, you know, not dumber, like me and you.
Right, that's right.
And also, it just oozes that Nintendo thing, which, you know, incredible gameplay covered in frosting. It's just it's what Nintendo does.
Does Toad have like a romantic interest in this one? Is that like something that he does?
He's really into the shape of Donald Trump's penis. I'm just kidding. No, there is a girl Toad. I don't know what her name is. Toadette or something.
But I think but she's just a playable character. She's, you know, she's like an option, right? Either you or Toadette.
No, I mean, well, maybe. Like... I don't think so, though, because in the story in the beginning, she gets kidnapped by a giant eagle.
What? Come on.
Yeah, just like in, she's like the Princess Peach of this deal.
Yeah.
And so she gets picked up by a big eagle talon and flown off someplace. And your job is to go get, you know, find her. So it's very traditional Nintendo that way, which is a little annoying. But you can't play her yet. Maybe after you finish it all, she becomes an unlockable or something like that. I don't know.
Right.
But I think it's great.
Dang Goombas!
I think it's great and worth every minute I've spent so far. My only complaint is I feel like I'm going to run out of cool stuff to do. And I don't know when that's going to happen, but it's very Nintendo, and they have never let me down before, so why would they now? So it's all going to be fine. So, yes, highly recommend it. There is kind of has that quality of like, all right, well, I did the basics and got out of here, but if I really want all three gems and the 8-bit Toad and the bonus mushroom, I'm going back in. I'm going to find it all. Like, it has that quality to it. That's pretty cool. So check it out, Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker. Again, it's a Wii U game, but it is great on the Switch. If you're looking for something for the Switch, by gum, got you covered. All right, Brian, Identity V, which is...
Right, okay, it's one of those games that, okay, look, if you're going to name your game or your device something and follow it with either a Roman numeral 5 or a 10, you got to tell me, like in little, you know, little brackets or something, this is a V or this is a 5. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's Identity 5 or Identity V, but I'm going with Identity V because what I've been calling it. I picked this up on my mobile app. I registered, I believe, for the pre-release for this, but I think it's available now for everybody to play. It is one of them Outrun a Serial Killer games. Have you ever played a Dead by Daylight?
Yes, it's a scary video game. That game.
It's a scary video game that you play with your friends. It's a 4v1 kind of game where usually one person plays as a killer and then four other people play as the escapees or the hunted, and they're just trying to get out of the location. This game is unapologetically a Dead by Daylight clone for the mobile PC because there is no Dead by Daylight
Did you call it the mobile PC? Is that what you call
mobile
it?
Mobile PC is what I said, but I didn't mean to.
Are you
but
like
you know what I mean?
You're like a 90-year-old man.
I like my mobile
man.
PC. I take my PC and I just make it. I put it in the car.
You sound like
I
a
just drive
an,
it around.
You're like an old man going. Remember the mobile PC of the late 2000s?
So much fun. You really the mobile PCs? Remember those days?
Yeah, we called them phones.
Put them in the, anyway. I meant mobile phone is what I meant. To
yeah,
say.
It's fine.
It's actually a mobile politically correct device is what it is.
Yeah.
And you can play as a male or female in this case. But, okay, so you start out in this game. It's a little bit different from Dead by Daylight because that is mostly just nothing but multiplayer. You just get in and you're trying to, you know, escape from one crazy nut, and it's a lot of fun. This game, believe it or not, even being on mobile, has more of a storyline than Dead by Daylight. And you start out and you're this writer.
Guy's got a big old head, man. Big old noggin.
Yeah, that's the style. It is a stylized, I'm trying to think of what exactly you would call that art style. It reminds me a lot of Coraline. Have you ever seen Coraline?
Oh, sure.
Where the characters have really big heads.
Love Coraline.
And the reason why I say that is because there are basically two worlds here that you're existing in. You're a writer who has lost his memory and decided to become a detective. Why not?
Like you do.
So you've been right. So you've been called into a rich man. He has his daughter went missing. And so you go to investigate, and the house is abandoned. It's creepy. There's lights off. All you got is candles to light as you go through. And you investigate for clues. And as you find clues, you flash over to these characters in this kind of like mirror world, and in true mirror world fashion, all the characters there have button eyes, little eyes, little buttons on their eyes,
like Coraline,
Coraline. Look, these people stole heavily from other places, but it's a lot of fun because it's okay because it's kind of got a very gothic look when you first start out, and it's still a little bit gothic in the mirror world, but it's a little bit more modern too.
I gotta give chat room props.
What'd they say?
The Wraith 86 says, is there a normal head mode cheat for this? Because all video games have a big head mode cheat. That's very funny.
That's true.
Good job, the Wraith. Sorry, that's continue. True. Go ahead.
So you get right away, you're getting chased by a giant clown with button eyes.
Great.
The first thing you had to do, right? Great. Scott could never play this.
No,
but it is on mobile, so maybe you can kind of keep it a little bit further away.
Well, that was going to be my question. Were you ever scared in any of this?
I wouldn't say scared as much as excited. You know what I mean? So it's a little bit different between, you know, it's like, it's kind of like that, oh no, I got to get away. Woo-hoo-hoo. And the clown is like right on your butt because it seems like your character has the ability to run. But I just swear, man, on the mobile, it's just you try to run and you end up running into things, and here comes the clown. He's kind of like jolly and bouncy, and he's a little bit slow, but he's steady. So he just always coming at you. So you think you're doing good because you're like, oh, you look back and he's like, oh yeah, he's halfway across the room. I got plenty of time to jump out this window.
Yeah.
What you don't realize is how long it takes your stupid man to jump out the stupid window.
Because he'll crawl over. Got a big head.
Right. Yeah, because with his big head, he's got to move all that weight around. And so it's by the time you get out the window, of course, clown man, you turn around and clown man goes, whoosh, and tries to make a swipe at you, of course. And that doesn't necessarily scare you. It's just, you know, it's just butthole squinching inducing where it's like, ah.
Yeah.
So I don't really consider that being scary.
No, I understand. I know what you mean.
I just consider that being at high alert.
That's just an intensity thing, sure. That's different.
Yeah, it really is. The intensity is turned up to 12. So there's lots of times where everything is kind of quiet and you can kind of move around to where you need to get to. But then once you get to a certain area, it gets really intense. And I also have where your character's heartbeat starts going boom, 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 boom. And that speeds up. So that makes you feel like you're going to freaking lose your mind.
Yeah.
In order to escape the areas, you're out usually outside of a building somewhere in an open area. And you have to go find a typewriter with a cipher on it. It's a cipher machine. You have to go and you have to decode it. Really don't do anything except stand at it. And while your character goes, and as you're doing that, you know, your character's kind of looking around for the clown. And it's kind of looking around. And then, of course, all of a sudden, the clown will show up. And you're like, ah! And then you, if, about the time you finish the cipher, which takes, you know, between 5-10 seconds, which feels like forever.
Yeah.
But as you do that, the gates open elsewhere, and you can escape through the gate. Where this becomes more fun, of course, is when you're playing that 4v1, where you're all trying to help each other get the ciphers, because usually there's multiple exits at that point in time. So even though the person, the hunter who is hunting, you know, the victims, even though he can kind of guess kind of where you're going to be at, he doesn't always know. And it takes him a while to get across the screen.
This is just, you're just, it's, wait, are you playing with other people or just computer?
People? I have not played. So that's the good thing about this. You can play as an individual through the story. And what happens is you have those moments where you play, but then you drop back into detective mode, yep, and you follow the story along a little bit more, and you're getting clues about what happened to the daughter. But then as you get to the next clue, you'll usually pop back into this to kind of see what happened to these people. And so it's kind of a little intermix of story and gameplay, but I can do it individually, and I can, the AI is smart enough. It will help me if I get captured, because if you do get captured, he'll tie you up, and he'll give you a certain amount of time, and then somebody can come along.
Yeah, it's just like Dead by Daylight. It's the same thing.
It's just like Dead by Daylight. Exactly. There's not much difference really at all. But
chat room's calling it Coraline by Daylight is what they're calling it in the chat room.
That'd be spot on.
Yeah.
Spot on.
Yeah.
But it is a lot of fun. I've had a terrific time with this game. Mm. I would like to play with other people, but I don't know right now, man. This is pretty stressful. It's stressful enough doing it on my own. I can't imagine trying to coordinate an effort and having people mad at me because I can't save them. I'm not going over. There's a clown.
Yeah, there's a clown. Nobody likes a clown.
You're dead, dude.
Not only a clown, he's got like a peg leg with a clown. That's not cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like that at all.
I don't like it at all.
Yeah. Looks like that's on Android and
iOS. It's on iOS, I believe, and Android, I believe.
That is correct. Yeah. You can get on both those platforms.
But it is the goodness. I did enjoy it.
Identity V.
Identity V or Identity 5. I don't know.
Oh, it's probably 5, isn't it?
I don't know.
Because there's 5 players. Because
there's 5 players, right. You would think that's what would make sense.
Yeah, but who are we to make sense of this world?
No. I make no sense.
I make no sense either. All right, well, I would like to tell you about another game.
Do it.
A game I meant to get a long time ago. It was always too much money. Then there was also this thing of like, I don't know if this is my game or not, but it seems like it should be on the surface, but I don't know. And then the reviews were good, but then I thought, oh, I got other stuff to play, so I just never got around to it. I finally picked up, after all that time, Blood Bowl 2.
Blood Bowl.
Now, I didn't play any Blood Bowl 1. So I don't have much of a reference point, and I've never played the tabletop
right,
which is a game that Games Workshop puts out. It's set in the Warhammer universe, and it's like their take on sports. It's basically football in a fantasy setting. Mm-hmm. Now, I immediately am drawn to this sort of idea because I love Mutant League football, Mutant League hockey. I love the idea of sports, but with a weird twist of some sort.
Right.
It's just always been a thing I'm cool with. I'm down with it. That's what this game is. You start the game with these two commentators. One guy's name is Jim Johnson. He is Eternal, and he's one of the commentators. Then there's Bob But Bifford, I think, and he's like a big ogre. But they're kind of Warcrafty era stuff. I mean, Warcraft's basically Warhammer anyway, so you know what I'm talking about. It's just very,
right,
very Warhammer, and they act like it's a real sport. And the teams have, you know, pads and colors and everything, but the pads and colors are all spiky, and you know, they look like they're medieval in a way, but also weirdly modern football in another way. So that is the motif, that's the look, that's the feel of it. It's got a sense of humor. Never played the tabletop, so I didn't know how the rules worked. But basically, it's a turn-based game. And you are trying to get a touchdown. That's one of the ways of earning points and doing stuff. But also, you can eliminate each other almost chess style in this game. So you line up, Brian, imagine these, you know, your two teams lining up. You got your offensive linemen and your defensive guys. And while you're playing, you make a move and you have a turn. So the turn is, okay, well, I can take this guy, clear up the field. The further I go, though, the more likely I'm going to have a bad dice roll, so I need to be careful with that guy. Or, hey, he should tackle this other guy. There's only a 65% chance he's going to get it. And if he doesn't, that guy's going to get through and get the ball. But it's 100% turn-based. There's no real-time combat in this thing at all.
I was about to say, so when you take your turn and you just kind of sit back and you enjoy the mayhem?
Just sit back because you move a guy, he moves and does his thing. Move another guy, he moves, tackles a guy, kills him, takes the ball. Do another guy, he gets murdered by the defenseman or whatever. And then it's the other, and then you're done, you hit end turn, and now the other team makes a bunch of moves, and they all have their associated actions, and then it comes back to you. It's like your traditional civilization.
Is there more fantasy or football humor?
More of an attempt to combine them. Mm. They are constantly, that's the one thing that's kind of rubbing me a little bit wrong. I don't think the humor's working for me very well. It's a lot of sort of like, We're in the sort of fantasy place, but also football. Like it's a little on the nose for me. But I understand that's the point, so I'm not gonna ding it too hard for that. The actual gameplay is where I'm interested in kind of getting my feet wet. And I suck at this game. This is the biggest bummer about it, is I'm not good at it yet. Now I think I just need to get my head around the rules. The tutorial's there, but it's not super clear sometimes how moves go and how a turn ends. I found some of that to be just a little lacking, but again, you know, people who veterans of the tabletop are probably going, well, yeah, Scott, it's supposed to be hard, whatever. I'm still willing to stick with it and figure it out because I just love the idea of it. And, it was only like $5 or something on sale the other day. Yeah. It's usually $39. I was like, what? Of course I'm getting this.
So, why didn't you tell me, man? Is it still on sale?
All kinds of strategies, all kinds of weird. So yeah, I think it is. All kinds of weird ways to play it. Goblins are the refs. It's kind of amazing. The art style is really good. It's just right up my cheese. I like everything about what it's supposed to be. I just need to get good at it.
Right. Cheese.
Yeah. And it's I want to say this came out originally in what, 2015? It still feels.
It looks like it was released in 2015, September 22nd.
Yeah. It still feels new and not old. It doesn't feel like an old game. Feels like
there's actually an official expansion that is more than the core game for $24.99. A couple of expansions, actually.
Yeah, there's content and there's stuff.
There's also multiplayer. Is that?
Yeah,
is
you can do that right out of the. You can do that. Yes, you can do that right out of the gate. I haven't tried that yet because I will die immediately. So I haven't done any of that. All I've done is started the campaign stuff, and I'm sure that there are people right now listening to us going, "Well, the only way you really want to play this is if you're playing against somebody else." And I agree, it probably is, but right now I'm not ready for that kind of death. I'll die.
Yeah, too embarrassing. Wow, it's funny because it looks like it has fairly mixed reviews, but a lot of the negative reviews are recent, but they haven't been like all of a sudden either.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. There was a time there where it was like
mostly positive.
It was overwhelming that it was mostly, and I don't know what, maybe something recently happened where like they stopped supporting the feature I like or whatever, something like that. That's fine.
Right.
People don't like that kind of stuff, but you can pass. You can pass interfere. You can do a lot of weird football stuff that's cool. Your dude dies though. If you get clobbered, you're dead. Like, not always.
That's what happens in the real world, too.
I guess so. But, like, there's this huge ogre on this team we're looking at right now. And if he runs over to the opposing team, he'd just kill a dude. And so it's a little like chess that way, just eliminating guys.
Right.
I barely cracked it. I just wanted to say I think it's cool so far. So it's not near enough in for me to go, yes, this is the greatest thing. But it does scratch my kind of, you know, future sport kind of thing that I like so much. I'm a big fan of that. All right. So there's that.
Gotcha. There's that.
Tell me your final game, Magic the Gathering Arena. Oh, interesting.
Right. Did I get into the closed beta? No, I did not. However,
it's out now. I thought that was out and available to everybody, isn't it?
It will be in the open beta, I believe. They had the closed beta, I believe, ended the 23rd yesterday.
Yeah.
23rd September 2018. And they needed a few days to do some server stuff. And it's going to then go into an open beta. But I have been, like I said, I've been playing through, watching my kids play in their closed beta that they'd not share with me. I'm pretty excited, and I've been prepping and studying, and I've been really ratcheting up my Magic the Gathering gameplay in real world, too. This past weekend, I had the youngest kid. She is about to turn 11, yeah. And she has been wanting to play Magic for a while, and she just wasn't there yet with understanding. It's a 13 and up kind of game, not necessarily because of the violence, but just because of
difficulty and sure.
Yeah, the difficulties it's one of the easier battle card games, if you ask me.
Because card on card violence. I like that idea.
On card and violence. I think it's, like I said, it's one of the easier to understand because the rules are so. I don't know. You can take a card in Magic and it tells you exactly what to do. So once you get the basics down, which are pretty simple, it's real fun. So we've been having a lot of fun this past weekend. We played many hours of Magic the Gathering and just watching YouTube videos on the Gathering, the arena.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to it in just a few days. I'm going to pick it up. Probably hear a little more about that this next week.
I think it's good. I want to say
card game.
I think it's really good that Magic is finally. They had a terrible video game version of Magic for a while. Hearthstone came in, ate everybody's lunch, and now these guys feel like they're having to pay a little catch up. I'm thrilled though. Mm-hmm. From all I'm hearing is that this is this is legit. Like they've finally gotten it right.
Yes.
They've got good development behind this. They're going to make a good game, and that it's deserved.
The phase is right. It's the phases, because the Magic the Gathering does have quite a few phases in between each turn, and the person who plays. So they've finally figured out how to do that right, from what I've seen so far. And I'm interested in getting in play. And I'm interested to see what kind of longevity it's going to have for me, because I've played Hearthstone, and a lot of those games I just would get, didn't take me long to get frustrated. I'd just be like, I'm just not having the fun I should be having.
Yeah, I'm not very good at them either. I like Eternal a lot. Have you played Eternal?
Yes.
I like Eternal. It's a really good. That's a great CCG. But even I just like, after a while, I'm like, all right, I suck at this. You're all better than me. Yeah. So why am I playing this?
And that's the reason why I feel like I'm getting back to basics, because I feel like, Magic's where it started at. And so it's like, I'm like, maybe if I can get it under control with Magic, maybe I can go back and play Hearthstone and other games and really maybe appreciate them at a different level or something.
Sure.
I don't know. I see these games all the time and people play them. They're having so much fun. I just want to get involved, and I'm hoping that, the problem with me is these collectible card games. I'm very budget minded.
Yeah.
And so I've got to stay within a certain amount. And as long as I can still have fun, without spending a ton of money, I don't mind spending even upwards to $100 a year,
mm-hmm.
because you know like $10 a month or so, I don't mind spending that kind of money. But when it gets beyond that, just to be a little bit competitive, that's a little too much for me.
I agree.
Too much.
Totally agree.
Too much.
There's
the other guy that you do the shows with occasionally, that, man, that guy, what's he spend, like $5,000 a year on cards or something?
Garrett spends, I don't know what he told me once, he spends hundreds of dollars a year. Like, it's just part of his budget to buy every card there is.
But
if you're really into a game, if you're into a game, dude, go for it.
Yeah.
Like,
look at the money you spend on World of Warcraft. It's crazy.
Well, I mean, I just spend 15 a month, but yeah, like, it adds up. Like, over time, that adds up, the amount of time I spend in there. Like, yes, if you're committed to a game though, I think I have zero judgment for it. Those games have just never done enough to quite compel me over the edge. And I don't know why, because in theory, I like it. They're turn-based strategy games. I like those generally. I just talked about Blood Bowl 2. It's a turn-based strategy game. It's not that different than playing a card game, really. Card games are a certain format, but for whatever reason, I
like it. You played the War Tile. You played the Blood Bowl. You played the...
I play them all the time. I got that. I was telling you about that game last episode. The Battletech game is amazing. By the way, if there's an award for best video game soundtrack in 2018, I think Battletech should get it. It's really good. Because I did play some of that as well this week. But
that's the one, huh?
Did you see
the Spider-Man doing all kinds of records?
Yeah, Spider-Man did real well, turns out. And it's a great game. I love Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You should play Spider-Man. Why don't you play that?
I want to play Spider-Man. What's the point? You've already talked about it here. So.
Yeah, but you...
What am I going to say? I really like these Spider-Man selfie things.
Hey, Velvet Tip, for the record, it was a 108 to 110. 108 and a half. somebody in the chat says, Scott, have you played Mutant Football League yet? So you might say, wait, don't you mean Mutant League Football? No, no, no. This is a new game. Somebody thought, hey, we'll make a football game that's like Mutant League Football and call it Football or Mutant Football League. And I did play it, and it's not as good. It's I don't know if it's just early or maybe they'll work some more on it. They have this Dynasty Edition that comes out in October. I don't know what the difference is. It'll just come into all the consoles. I want to play a good successor, spiritual successor to the Mutant games. I don't know if that one's it. We shall see. All right, we shall see. All right, well, it's time to play Guess My Game. You want to play Guess My Game?
Oh, my God, yes, let's play Guess My Game. But you know what I did? I put this in a week ago when I thought we were going to do the show.
Oh, yeah. And then you went, you had
So play the thing. Let me see if I can remember what I put in there.
All right, here we go. This is Brian's clip.
Mandatum?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I remember now.
I know what this is.
Golden.
I know what this is. It's freaking, here. Wait. This is the, okay, I had to make sure on the music. This is the original,
right.
The original Age of Empires.
Right.
Or is it two? Let me hear it again. Oh my gosh. It doesn't take much for me to hear some of those sounds and be immediately brought back to when I was playing Age of Empires.
Oh, I loved it.
Okay, is that God, one or two? That might be two. Is that two? I don't know.
I want to say I captured two, but okay. It's been a week since I did it, and now even I'm questioning myself. So
nothing wrong with that. Like
one and two were fantastic. Yeah. Three was different.
It was
still good.
Three was trying to compete in an era of oh crap, Warcraft 3's got these weird heroes, and what are we gonna do, and how do we compete with that? I wish they would have just stayed in their lane a little bit.
Yeah,
you know?
Stayed your course, man.
Yeah, you don't need to go try to copy everybody else, but I have such fond feelings for that series.
Your favorite dick move in Age of Empires. Did you have a dick move?
No. I had a favorite. I liked the Turks a lot, so I had a favorite race.
Right.
You know what? They kind of had a dick move. So if you made the Turks, one of their unique units was this cannon unit. Where they have these little white cannons next to them, and they were full of like bowling ball sized bombs or whatever. And I would just make nothing but those guys. So I'd have like hundreds of them. And because the game didn't have the kind of limits,
balanced.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't balanced at all. You could just go crazy.
No.
So I would load up on those dudes.
That's what was so much fun about it, because since there was basically no balance, I mean, it was pick a strategy. Yeah. Are you the guy who collects resources as fast as humanly possible? And then just puts a million guys on the field and just, you know, razzes to other people when their farmers are still just trying to, you know, build farms. That was the kind of things you could do. My favorite dick move was if I knew the people that I was playing against were experienced and really good, I would like to usually play like three v three or whatever. Or,
sure.
You know, so we would play like three or four people at a time. And I would always take a couple of my guys. I would just like get some villagers, like four or five, and I'd send them into different wooded areas, and I would just hide one or two here or there.
Mm-hmm.
Just so because they couldn't officially defeat you until they either built the wonder and completed it, or they killed all of your people.
Yeah.
So they would go and they would kill everybody else, and I'd be putting people on boats, flying out, sailing out to islands where they couldn't find me, and putting them in little trees and stuff. I'd spend my entire time just trying to hide people places so people would be walking around going, I can't find them.
Yeah, it is good. That kind of stuff was fun. Pizza. Here's my favorite way to play that game solo. Okay, this is two.
Yeah.
I would get in. I would give myself as high amount of money to start with as possible. I would have huge amounts of resources all over the map, so I'd crank that up to maximum. And it created random maps. So I always loved that as a tech. I thought that was great.
Right.
And it would be me versus one computer, and I would put them with the lowest possible difficulty setting. And then I would start the game, and I would basically play it like Civilization, like a like a real time Civilization, where I would upgrade through the paths, and I would choose the right things, and I would build up my cities, and I would organize them nice and pretty. And if anyone ever tried to attack me, they were so dumb and bad, it was just like killing barbarians, big deal.
Yeah.
So I just kill them, and then I keep going. I played it like a single player Civ game. It's just a weird way to play an RTS, but I loved it. Always loved it. Such a good game. Such a great little series. There's a new one coming, you know. Four is on its way. I don't know if you knew that.
Yes, Age of Empires 4 is on its way. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
I would definitely be disappointed. It'll never live up to my memories of Age of Empires.
You think so? You think you're... Really? That's interesting.
I'm afraid so. Mm-hmm. I just don't know how they could.
Okay. No, I mean, they... Do you think it's...
I'm not going to say it's not going to be great. I'm just saying that I have such high expectations.
Yeah.
That they'll never be able to reach them. I had no expectations when I played it back in the day.
Do you think it's do you think that's a foregone conclusion? You don't think there's any chance that they could... Maybe they'll surprise you. Maybe you'll be playing and go, oh my gosh, this is
I hope they surprise me. I hope they surprise me. I just don't know how.
All right.
They would literally have to go... I'd have to find some kind of weird nostalgia, really, to be able to really hit it. And how would you do that? I mean, we do it all the time. Like Stranger Things on Netflix is an amazing show.
Yeah.
But not because it's just wholly original. It is original and nostalgic at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why I like it. And how would you do that with a video game? How do you become... I mean, I just played Epic Loon, which was amazing, but it was kind of a really weird ride.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
They would have to really think outside the box than just
bringing it
to modern day.
I agree. I don't know what they do, but I would be very interested. I mean, they did have everyone forgets they had that. What was that called? Age of Empires Online.
Online. Yeah. I played that for a minute. It was cutesy. It was a lot more cutesy, and
I was super jazzed about it, but it was too free to play with the weird transactions. And ended up being a bummer that way.
It did. It had a little fun when I first started. It just kind of fell apart.
They had a cool developer.
It was interesting.
The guys that do the Orcs Must Die games made that game.
Yes.
Yeah, it was really good. Anyway, here's mine.
See you have a game?
Yeah, see
do
if you
it.
Guess what this is. I need to unmute it, though. Hold on a second. All right, here we go. PlayStation 1, that'll help you, okay?
Do it.
That's your only hint.
Baron Aloha, a black shadow threatening the safety of peaceful worlds, an evil scientist who frightens children and is bent on slavery. A giant robot has seized the peaceful world and carried it off. Aloha's evil plan is to turn it into a huge private retreat for himself. Universal City Hall, here to help the people. Robot can do the job. Let's go, Robot! Jump and go!
All right. Any ideas?
That sounds terrible.
I'll give you some more. I'll give you some more here. This is gameplay. Nothing, no.
That sounds real familiar, but I mean, it's kind of got like a Frogger sound to it, which I know is not even close.
Yeah, it's...
And I kind of think it almost sounds like a Star Fox thing, but wrong console.
Yeah, wrong brand, sure. It's this is a night. This is a PS1 game,
right?
There is a, I'll say there's a rabbit involved.
Oh wait. What is that? I do know that one. I never really played it, but I know what you're talking about.
I played it to death. Oh my gosh, I loved it. I thought it was such a cool game at the time. Now I've played this since, and I don't think it holds up. I think it was a cool thing at the time, but we have come way further than this now. But
so what you're saying is you're hoping this is not part of the 20 games they're going to put on that PlayStation 1 Mini.
Actually, I kind of hope it is, because I actually think it is good in that context. But it's not like a great experience today. But anyway, the game is called Jumpin' Flash.
Jumping Flash,
and it's this rabbit and this 3D first-person view thing. I thought it was brilliant. Open world, questy, puzzle design stuff.
Ah, yes.
It's a cool game. And I think it was on the, it may have been on the, maybe.
Ooh, I never knew they had a two.
Oh, I think I did know that, but I don't think I ever played two. But it really had, I don't know, at the time, nothing was like it. It was really unique, and it looks like garbage butt right now. Like, if you play it now, it's just an ugly, jiggly.
That's the bad thing. I've seen people discuss it, and the PlayStation 1 era games were trying to bridge the gap of really taking advantage of the processor power and really going more 3D mm-hmm. and getting out of these platform things. And mm-hmm. as a result, it meant a lot of texture mapping, and it meant a lot of, you know, trying to make use of really pushing the hardware, just really pushing the hardware.
We just didn't know what to do yet. This is so new. 3D was so new. You didn't know.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's hard to make it. It's hard to make it look good, because one of the things we hated then was, you know, the aliasing. You needed anti-aliasing, and this wasn't there. You know, it's cute when you have pixelated 8-bit games. That looks charming and cute because the pixels are, you know, are blocky.
Yeah.
But when you get into this era, they just get, I don't know, they look like little frozen pixel bits.
Yeah.
They don't look.
I completely agree.
It doesn't play as well.
It doesn't show as well. But I had a lot of fun with it and would recommend it if you've never seen it. And if it comes with that PS1 mini, then maybe you'll just get it. We'll see.
Right.
We don't know. Mm. All right. Well, that does it for of the show. I am too. Let's do this.
We didn't even get to talk about it.
Yeah, we do. We probably should ought to. I mean, we at least got to get our hands on one so we can talk about it.
Yeah.
Telltale is gone. Well, they're almost gone. Telltale Games did a huge round of layoffs, and it's kind of a bummer because there's even a sense and talk that The Walking Dead series may not even get its final episodes, which is supposed to be the last game they make. Telltale Games is a developer of licensed adventure titles such as The Walking Dead series, Game of Thrones, Batman, all that stuff, has laid off most of its staff with the intention of closing the studio. The last season of The Walking Dead game released this year, the second season of Wolf Among Us, and upcoming Stranger Things series were all in the works. With the latter still perhaps on the horizon, but probably not. The recent partnership with Netflix seemed to suggest the company was planning for the future. However, these layoffs are massive, and there are only like 22 people on board right now. And that is to polish up and finish off this Walking Dead season so they can get the H out of there. It looks like they're going away.
This is what happens when you put all your eggs in the basket of a certain gameplay.
Yeah,
and
one
that
game
gameplay
type
falls
exactly.
out of favor because they were the go-to people.
Yep.
For that gameplay style.
Yep.
But then once it kind of fell out of favor,
I think adventure games have still have some legs. It's just that they zeroed in on the new Telltale game way of doing a game, and then they just adhered to it with 100% ferocity, and they just never varied. So everything played the same. Batman played like the rest of these. The rest of these played like, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy one they did. Like, they had cool, really cool licenses and great ideas. Wolf Among Us was amazing. That was a great game.
And so much fun to see our favorite properties get, you know, a little more expansion. I mean, like the Back to the Future type of stuff. It was a good idea.
Yeah, but they just, I don't know, they just drilled it into the ground. It's really unfortunate.
Yeah, they did.
Wolf Among Us is, if you have a J. Calhoun in the chat, you should play Wolf Among Us. That's a great, great adventure game.
Yeah, it's one of their best ones.
Great comic series as well, but it's not called Wolf Among Us, though. It's called...
It's not called Wolf Among Us?
No, it's...
You're right.
It's basically just like Fractured Fairy Tales, but I can't think of the name of the series. Is it... Not Fairies.
Who is Wolf Among
Us? Not Fairy Tales. It's... I wasn't supposed to...
Fables.
Turn on. Fables. Thank
is
you, Fables.
It?
I knew it was an F word. And that game's full of F words, by the way. So enjoy that.
Free Rangers.
Not for the kids.
For us.
Not for the kids. All right. Well, that's your news for the week. And there's other, you know, there's other things going on, other updates that are happening. A bunch of people are very mad that they worked, you know, weekends, holidays, long hours every day with no overtime, being passionate about these projects, and then just summarily let go in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
Real bummer.
The good news is those guys are well respected in the gaming community, and so I've seen plenty of places offering jobs to
Oh, they get swept up, yeah.
Just the opening, you know, saying, hey, Telltale guys.
I agree. So, they're going to get picked up, no problem.
It's just such a surprise. Usually you see it coming. I thought they were healthy.
It's one of those companies you just are always around. You just figured you just see Telltale forever.
Right.
They've been officially formed since 2004. They did some really great modernizations of the Sam & Max stuff and a few other games. And they just kind of kept cranking and I don't know. Just seemed like they were going to be around for a long time, but whatever. There they are. Gone.
Next.
What is that? Innovate. 15 years? 14 years? 15 years. Hold on. 2004 to 2014 is 10.
14 years?
14 years. What'd a long say? Time. Yeah. That's crazy. Now time for your emails.
Do it.
Here's one from Stephen Radke in Cedar Park, Texas. Gentlemen, he says, can you please suggest a game for me? Sorry, I won't do that. When Skyrim came out, I thought it was going to be the best game ever. The things that made me stop playing was the crafting, collecting the right items to order to craft, and the skill increases. I'm looking for a game like Skyrim without all of that complicated stuff. I'd like the first-person dungeon diving, exploring, fighting others open world, and collecting and item upgrades. Can either of you think of a game that meets this criteria? Thanks in advance for your help, Steve. Well, Steven, I can, actually. And good news, you might actually be getting a brand new remastered version of it and a possible sequel. Because THQ Nordic announced, a week and a half ago? That they acquired the rights to 38 Studios' Kingdoms of Amalur game.
Oh, I did not know this.
Yeah, which came out, 38 got obliterated, so they don't exist anymore. But that game is still available on Steam. I still have it. I decided to fire it up the other day just kind of see what's going on in there. Still runs great. The game came out in 2011-ish, right around the time Skyrim did. And it's a really great alternative to Skyrim because you have all that stuff you're talking about. Mm-hmm. The only downside I can think of really is if you're looking for first person as a mandatory need, it's not. It's third person. I can't help you with that part. But what you do and how you grow and what you get and how the game works out sounds like what you just described. There are some crafting elements, but you can ignore them if you want. And if you decide to do them, they're just easy. There's nothing weird about them. And take it from a guy who does not like professions in video games. I can't stand them. I never do them in anything, even World of Warcraft. My beloved WoW, I don't even do them in there. I just usually just hate that stuff. And they're pretty good in there. That game holds up. It's a strong entry. It bums me out that that things crashed around that and they weren't able to make it work. But with THQ Nordic already showing signs of treating old properties that they acquire with a nice gloved hand, I think you might actually be in for a surprise. So keep an eye on that. You can buy the current one now for dumb cheap, or you can wait around for a remastered, which will probably just be a free upgrade for everybody who already owns it. That's how they did that with... what's the Mars one that I bought and talked about on here? Where you break everything with a big old hammer. It's based on an old PS1 shooter, and then there was Red Faction. Thank you.
Red Faction. That's right.
Red Faction Guerrilla is like that. That's a THQ Nordic pickup. They bought it. They fixed it up. They gave us a remastered, and it's great. So, potential sequels to that could come as well. So, I don't know what all that means, you know, nothing's for sure, but it seems like if you're going to get the Kingdom's IP and make a big stink about it like they did, they're probably going to do something with it. So,
yeah. So there you go. I'm going with that, buddy.
I think that's your email. It is. And by the way, if you'd like to send your own emails into the show, it's so easy. You can just be like this Stephen Radke guy in Cedar Park, Texas. You just send us an email, boopshow@gmail.com. Simple as that. Or you can go to the website, frogpants.com/boop, and there's a way to contact us right there. If you would like to find us on Twitter, we're at Boop Show, the Brian Dunaway. I'm Scott Johnson. You can find me there. And we have a Reddit. It's got a little active community, boopshow.reddit.com. And if you hang around after the show, live watchers, we'll give away a couple of games. All right? We're making a day of it here. It's going to be a good time. So stick around. It's good to be back. Next week, I don't know when my plane arrives, so I don't know when we're doing a show yet. We'll figure that out. But I get home from Ohio on Monday, but I think it's early. I don't know. I actually don't know. So as soon as I know, I'll let you guys know. If it's night, well, then we probably don't have a show. But I'll do my best because it'd be great to have a show next week as well.
Yes, it would. And if not, who knows? Maybe I'll play some video games live on Twitch.
Oh, yeah. People like watching you do things.
They like doing that. I'm not doing that. Hey, I might be playing some of that Magic the Gathering arena.
Ooh, look at you with your arena and the gathering of the magic and the whatnot. That's a fantastic idea. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening, being here, and being a part of this here show. For me, for Brian, we'll see you next time. Bye now. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam.